The story of Exodus is the story of God's redemption of Israel out of slavery. They had cried out in their anguish, and the Lord had heard them and sent Moses. Now Moses went to Pharaoh with a message. The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." Pharaoh's response, "Who's the Lord? I don't know him." Interesting. In the culture, to know is experience. Egypt had 120 gods. Pharaoh's saying, "You know, I know all these gods, but I've never experienced your God. I don't know him. I'm not going to obey him." Therefore, the Lord introduced himself, shall we say, to Pharaoh and all of Egypt with 10 plagues. Each of these plagues was directed against one of the primary gods that Egypt worshipped, which was nature, showing that it's the Lord who has the power and authority over nature and everything else, including your life, Pharaoh, and all the Egyptians. We find that when the plagues hit, the Pharaoh would relent and say, "Oh, you could go," but then as soon as the pressure was off, he immediately said no. But it was after the 10th plague, with the death of the firstborn son of all of Egypt, including Pharaoh, that he finally drove them out. Now, last week I shared with you a lot of the culture that I had learned on my study tour in Israel with Ray Vanderlaan. If you found that helpful to you, you can revisit it on my website. You'll find it under articles. The first was, why did Jesus have to die? And this has to do with the Abrahamic covenant. And that is also available in the Old Testament Foundation number 2 and in the Genesis lecture chapters 15 and 18. Last week, we covered Lamb Selection Day. Now, we often call this Palm Sunday because when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people were waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which is a political cry to save us from Rome. And Jesus wept because it was the 10th day of the month, which was Lamb Selection Day. Well, our story left off last week at midnight, chapter 12, verse 31. It was during that same night Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you've requested. Take your flocks and herds, if you have said, and go, and also bless me." So Pharaoh summons them, tells them, "Leave, take everybody with you, but when you go, please bless me. Pray to your God that I won't die." Verse 33, "And the Egyptians also urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die." Both Pharaoh and the Egyptians had seen the power of the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. So now, after death in every household, they were convinced if they didn't let them go, everybody would be put to death. Verse 34, "So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians." Eating unleavened bread has been emphasized over and over, and yeast in the Bible is viewed obviously causing fermentation, but also decay and corruption. But after the Passover, after leaving in haste, it took on a new meaning. It became a national symbol of redemption. When the people fled Egypt, they went with unleavened bread. So even today, whenever they eat unleavened bread, they remember the Lord redeemed them and they fled Egypt in haste. The Lord had already instructed the Israelites to ask for silver, gold, and clothing, and we find that they had obeyed. This had to have been an act of the Lord, because why would they give Israelites gold and silver and clothing? But God viewed these as plunder, which meant payback for the years of slavery. Well, the journey begins then in chapter 12, verse 37. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. Exactly how many Israelites left is very hard to know. If it was approximately 600,000 men, you add women and children, we're talking about 1.5 to 2 million people. We know the Lord had blessed Israel and increased their population. That's why Pharaoh was so afraid of them. But imagine this huge amount of people leaving all at once with this droves of animals. And we read that other people went with them as well. They too had seen the power of the Lord, and they too joined with Israel over Egypt. Verse 39. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Once again, we see the importance of unleavened bread. Verse 40. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Interesting. The Lord always tells his people in advance what he's about to do or what will happen so that they can see his hand of faithfulness. Think back to the Abrahamic covenant. The Lord cut a covenant with Abraham, but he also told him in Genesis 15:13, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, but I will punish the nation they served as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions." In other words, God has been faithful to Israel even during these years of slavery, and it wasn't a surprise to him. Verse 42, "Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil and honor the Lord for the generations to come." The Lord had kept vigil over Israel. As the death angel, or some of your translations says, the destroyer went through Egypt, God protected. He kept vigil. He kept watch over his people. And it was at midnight, which is why the Passover celebration is done in the evening. Then we go to instructions for further Passover celebrations, verse 43. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'These are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Any slave you have bought may eat of it after you have circumcised him, but a temporary resident and a hired worker may not eat of it.'" This tells us that only those who have put the faith in the Lord were able to participate in this celebration. Circumcision is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant, and if anybody was born outside of Israel and not circumcised on the eighth day, in order to become part of Israel, they had to be circumcised. Now, the mention of slaves is difficult for us today, and the Torah does not condemn it because it was part of their culture. However, as they go into the wilderness, Moses is going to give them a law regarding how to treat slaves in Leviticus 25:43. They are to be treated well with dignity and not to be abused. Verse 46. "It must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. Any alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in the household circumcised. Then he may take part as one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to a native born and to the alien living among you." It's interesting, one lamb eaten in one house and no bone is to be broken. Presumably, this was in order to make sure that they didn't take anything out, any leftovers or share. But it's also a picture of Jesus. He was the sacrifice. He was the one lamb, and it's for each individual. And the fact that no bones were broken was exceedingly unusual in Roman crucifixion. Breaking of the legs was common practice, and yet none of Jesus' bones were broken. Again, just to remind us that God foretells what will happen. Now, it's interesting because at the last line, it says the same law applies to a native born and to the alien living among you. It should not read law because we get a bad connotation. It is actually the same instructions apply to both the native and the alien. There's not a different law for Israel and others. One law applies to all. But what's really exciting to me is to discover this in Hebrew is Torah. Torah means instructions, and it's the first time we see it, and it will refer to the five books of Moses. Verse 50. All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. Now, by their divisions is hard for me to wrap my head around. I talked to Pastor Tori about this, and there's really nothing to let us know anything other than they were organized. And Pastor Tori felt that it meant that the men, possibly these 600,000 men, were walking around the perimeter in order to protect them. It also means they came out by tribes. But we'll see that as the story continues. Verse 50. All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. Then we go to the future Passover celebrations in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. All firstborn sons are dedicated to the Lord in remembrance of this 10th plague. But they are to be consecrated to the Lord, which means set aside for his service. But as we will see in the next few verses, they are not to be sacrificed, but they too are to be redeemed with a lamb. Verse 3, then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefather to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the 7th day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your sons, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Once again, we're reminded of the importance of remembering. Their holy calendar begins the month they left Egypt. The Hebrew word for spring is called Abib, but the Babylonian captivity, they changed the name to the Babylonian name, which is Nisan, which is what is used even today for the first month. We see that each generation is to observe the Passover, and they're to do so in a way as if they were participating, that they had become part of the slaves that were being freed from Egypt. In other words, they are to participate or become part of the story. Verse 9, this observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance as an appointed time each year. This celebration is to be like a sign. Again, it's a reminder. But the Jews today and for many centuries actually have taken it literally, and they wear two leather boxes, one on their upper arm and the other on their forehead. Just as a reminder, they're called Teflon. Verse 11, after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem them with a lamb, every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. And again, the emphasis is the firstborn belongs to the Lord. It's to be redeemed with a lamb. Verse 14. In the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both men and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. One more time, we get to the importance of remembering and to pass this mighty act on the Lord to each generation. Now, it's interesting because as we'll be going through the Seder in a couple weeks, questions from the children are important, so important they're included in the Seder. And the purpose? To pass on from generation to generation the story of what God did. This way, we see God's faithfulness in the past. Therefore, we know he's faithful in the present and will be in the future. Now, as I was going through this story, it took me right back to my study tour in Israel with Ray Vanderlaan. And I think it's important that we as a group go to Egypt and experience through story what that meant. So we're going to look at one of Ray Vanderlaan's video. His website is called That the World May Know. And this is from series number 8, God Heard Their Cry. And we're going to go to video number 4, which is Watch With Me as Israel Leaves Egypt. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you keep vigil over Israel and all of your children, including those of us who have accepted Jesus as our sacrificial lamb. Help us now to understand clearly your story. We love you, Lord. Amen.